Worried about something today? Pastor Jeff suggests casting those cares on someone who really cares for you.
We got to get to know him if we're going to trust him. You only trust in those you know. Do you know him? Are you learning about him? We need to know him so we can trust him and cast it all on him instead of carrying it around. But we're those creatures of habit. Well, I'm always worried about all this stuff. Well, you don't have to anymore. You can be delivered from worry.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
You know, many people today worry about things that will never happen. Some are anxious about things that happened in the past and can't be changed. What are you worried or concerned about today? Maybe it's fear of losing your job, or maybe getting the coronavirus. Pastor Jeff Johnson is about to encourage us to cast those cares upon the Lord and leave them there. His study is framed around 1 Peter chapter 5.
Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up? Read Isaiah chapter 6, the first few verses when you get home today, if you got a chance, because he saw the Lord, and as he saw the Lord came to him and convicted him of his sin. He said, I'm an unclean man amongst an unclean people, and I have a mouth that is full of filth. That's what he said. And so he was under conviction when he saw the Lord. I pray that some of you this morning will see God, and he will convict you of your heart and of your lifestyle and what you're doing, and that you'll get it right, that you'll receive from him. His spirit convicts us. And Isaiah was totally convicted. What happened after that? After his conviction, he was cleansed because he said, I saw, and the angel of the Lord brought a coal off the throne of God and brought it down and put it on my mouth and burned away the filth. Man, that's what he does. When Jesus comes in, he takes care of the inside. He takes the filth out. He cleanses us. So Isaiah received his cleansing right there. And after his cleansing, he said, Lord, who's going to be sent? I'll go for you. Send me. And the Lord says, okay. So he consecrated his life to the Lord. He said, now that you've cleansed me, you've convicted me, you've cleansed me, now I consecrate my life to you. I want to live for you. I want to just live for you from this moment on till I go home to be with you. And then finally, it says, when he did that, he heard the voice of the Lord. There's something about when you say, I'm going for this. I'm going to make him Lord of my life. He's going to be on my heart's throne, and I'm going to serve him from this moment on with his help, because I know I can't do it myself. So Lord, give me the filling of your Holy Spirit so I can do this. And then he heard the voice of God. And as you read God's word, you will hear his voice. And his voice will call you. And he gave him a commission. He said, now go, Isaiah, go tell this people. Go tell your people the great things that I have done. And that's what he's saying to us. And so that's the final thing. Once you consecrate your lives, he says, now go. Who will go? I will go. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. I love it. So humility. Now, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Now, these next few verses are exactly what God wants us to be doing in this pandemic, in this craziness that we're up against, in this season that is so dark that we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Trouble is ahead, guys, big time. And we are being warned, but, you know, the Lord is also telling us we are in troubled days when America isn't even seen in prophecy. It's not even here in the Bible. America is out of the scene. So could this be one of the things that's actually going to bring us down as a country? I don't know. It seems like, you know, it doesn't really matter which way we go this time because trouble's ahead. I think we all feel it. We all know it, that troubled days are ahead as far as man just doing his thing to his fellow man. Man's inhumanity to mankind, just not caring and just doing their craziness. And this whole thing of defunding the police, so ridiculous. But it's a reality, guys. That's what they want to do. And so we're going, well, what about us? What about us? We're going to have to fend for ourselves in the name of the Lord. We're going to have to gather together like we are right now, and we're going to have to fight this fight spiritually, in our minds, in our hearts, and we're going to be called to love the unlovely big time. And when you love the unlovely, that shouts at them that they get scared. Because that all of a sudden is convicting them of their sin. So we're going to see a lot of witnessing, a lot of things going on. But we need to prepare ourselves in every area of spiritual. So let's look at it. Verse 7, casting all your care. Well, we've got a lot of cares. We've got a lot of concerns. Upon who? Upon him. Upon the Lord. For he cares for you. Knowing that he cares for you. Over in Luke 10:40. Luke chapter 10, verse 40, he says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her, therefore, to help me. She was angry. Does God care? Yes, he cares. But she thought he doesn't care. And she would see that he does care, and she would see that she was cumbered about, that she was worried about things she shouldn't have been worried about, that Mary was doing that which was good, and that was sitting at his feet like you guys are doing right now. She was preparing herself of what was coming, because she's going to lose her brother. It's going to be horrific, because it's a horrific thing to lose a loved one. And it hurts. And Mary was prepared, in fact, so much prepared that she did right when it all came down, but Martha went off, she lost it. So we need to kind of just say, Lord, you care about me, so I'm going to cast my care upon you. Casting is interesting because to cast a net, it takes two hands. The hand of faith and the hand of prayer. We know prayer is important, so I got to pray. I got to cast my care upon him, but you know, faith, to trust God. Can you imagine? How can you trust a God you don't know? How do you get to know him unless you get into the book? Because you're not going to know him any other way. Well, it's too thick. It's too much. Well, take your time. Do one thing at a time and mark it. Know where it is. And get to know your God. Can you imagine you going up to somebody on the street and say, hey, buddy, come here. I'm going through a hard time. Things are bad, man. I really need help. I need $100. Would you just come on? Now listen, my taxes are coming. You ever heard that before? My taxes are going to come in. I'll pay you right back. Hey, buddy, come on, $100. He's looking at you. I don't even know you. Get out of my way, dude. I don't know you. I'm not going to give you $100. So it's the same thing with the Lord. I mean, we got to get to know him if we're going to trust him. You only trust in those you know. Do you know him? Are you learning about him? We need to know him so we can trust him and cast it all on him instead of carrying it around. But we're those creatures of habit. Well, I'm always worried about all this stuff. Well, you don't have to anymore. You can be delivered from worry. Don't take thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Just let the Lord suit you up and give you that food which he's going to provide for you. I mean, look what he does for the sparrow and the robins, you know. He takes care of them. He gives them everything. And they're still singing in the morning. Hear the birds chirping? They're happy as it could be. Why? Because God provides for them. There's that interesting, you know, relationship, and we need the same. We can have that same relationship if we take not thought or worry about what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here, that God says, I got this. When you gave your heart to me, I got you. I love you, and I've got a plan for your life that's going to blow your mind. If you'll just let me give it to you, I'll give it to you slowly. I won't just blast you in the face with it. But you got to just lay it down. And you got to come to me. And you got to want to know me. Because, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Those that come to him must first believe that he is. He's large and he's in charge. And I'm getting to know him, and I'm giving him stuff. And it's awesome because I trust him with it, and he brings it to pass. It might not be according to my timing, but it's according to his. And it's awesome. He's right on schedule every time. And then you relax a lot more. And then you just keep putting it on him because there's so much stuff going on. Lord, you know about this. Lord, you know about that. So cast your care because he cares for you. So be sober. Verse 8 now. Be sober. Sobriety here. You need to be sober. You don't mean to be sucking on a bottle of this or that. You know, drinking and carrying on. That's what the world does. That's a world thing. No, we're to be sober, sober-minded, you know, sharp. He says, be sober, be vigilant, be on guard. Why? Why are we going to be on guard? Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy, and he's real. What's his name? The devil, Satan. The liar? I mean, he's got a lot of names. The destroyer? I mean, he's out to seek to destroy you. That's what he loves to do. He loves to just rip people off, man, and depress them and wipe them out. Just end your life, man. You're worthless. No, you can't do a thing. And that condemnation just is killing more kids today than anything else. It's the number one killer, suicide. Boy, he's having a field day, isn't he? Because no one is running to the answer book. No one's going towards the Lord and what he wants to do. So we need to encourage people. We need to, you guys work at different places. You go to school different places. You're in the marketplace. You need to share with people because we got the answers. You want relief? How do you spell relief? J-E-S-U-S. Period. Period. He brings it, and it's always right on time, too. So, be sober. We have a real enemy called the devil. But, remember what he told Peter? This is in Peter 22, verse 32. He said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. That means, you know, you've seen a sifter. It's a slow process. You sift the wheat and you get the good stuff at the end. He wants to just slowly cause you to backslide. He wants to take you away from what little you've received so far. And he wants to rip you off. He's your enemy. He doesn't want you going to church. He doesn't want you serving the Lord. He doesn't want you here even now. And so there'll be warfare after the service. Get ready. You know how that works. But, you know, we're always that challenge is always there. But he is a real enemy. But then Jesus said to Peter, but I've prayed for you. Because, see, we not only have a real enemy, we have a real Savior that prays for us. When I read that, I broke down. I said, you're praying for me, Lord? I need it. I need it. And you're praying for me that I would, my faith would not fail. That's what he told Peter. I'm praying that your faith would not fail, that you would steady on, Peter. You've had some problems, and you went up and down, you went through stuff. But I'm praying for you that when you get this, when you really get this, and you come into that fullness, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're following the Lord in water baptism, you're going to church, you're seeking me, when you get this, you're going to comfort your brothers. You're going to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And that's to all of us. So we have a real Lord and Savior intervening that we can get out of the doldrums of backslidden situation, or maybe you've never front slid yet. And he's calling you this morning. He wants you to take a stand for him, for what he did for you on that cross. He took and laid his life down that you would experience a relationship with the living God if you would receive him into your heart. Don't ask me how that works. I don't know. It's a spiritual thing that takes place. But many of us in here would say, amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, see, they all got it. Somehow, some way, when they made that commitment, boom, they were saved and they started walking with the Lord. So that intimacy of being with him. So continuing on, he's a roaring lion. Notice he's like a roaring lion. He's, you know, he's not exactly like a lion because, you know, lions will chew you up. He can't chew you up. He has no teeth. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he was defanged at the cross, number one. Satan didn't know. He had everybody celebrating in Jerusalem as Jesus was dying on the cross, but he didn't know God's plan. See, he doesn't know everything, does he? He's not omniscient or omnipresent. No. Satan is one person, and he doesn't know all things. But he's going to continue to do this until he gets cast into hell forever and ever. And it's coming. And he knows it's coming. But he's going to keep his, you know, pressure on. So what do we got to do? We got to keep fighting. We got to stand in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 says, stand, and having done all, to stand. In other words, you need to hang in there. Yes, it's not going to be easy in a non-Christian world to live. Nobody said it was going to be. It wasn't easy for Jesus and for the disciples. They were constantly hated, constantly beat up. It was a constant thing. But man, what we've been given, it's going to be worth it, man, when we finally get taken up and we're with the Lord. But we need to hang in there. Fight the good fight. And know that the devil is a roaring. And sometimes even that roaring gets meow, meow. Why does he do that? Because he gives us some good things. And, you know, sin for a season, you know, is what Moses pushed away. I'm not going to have just sin for a season. But see, the devil says, oh, this is just a season. It's good. This is good for you. And he's not so roaring and against, because he knows your weaknesses. If you've got a weakness with lust, he's going to start playing with you like you wouldn't believe. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen there. It's going to come up, and he's going to try to draw you in. And so many of you guys are so locked up in it, you're having a hard time getting out of it. And you need to. You need to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me, because this is hurting me and my family. And it continues to take us out of the relationship that we need to have with one another. And it's not happening. It's dying. And we need to see it and run to the Lord, because he's there to deliver us. So he's walking about. What is he doing? Seeking who he may devour. Who do you think he sees that he can devour? Can he devour a strong Christian? Can he devour a Christian that's dedicated and committed to the Lord and into the Word of God on a regular basis, prayer, seeking God in with communion and in fellowship with his other brothers and sisters? No, he can't get to them. He can't devour them, but he can devour those that are just kind of playing church. Coming once in a while, and I can get into it. I mean, I'm a Christian, you know. I received Jesus. You know, you're not born again, man. You're not having victory. Come on. The reason you're struggling so much is you're not casting your care because you don't know him that much. You're distant. Remember that whole thing of Peter was a distant disciple? That's a lousy place to be in. Why was he? Well, because he denied the Lord. And he stayed away from the Lord. But yet, when Jesus was resurrected, he told Mary and the girls, go tell Peter, because he's really hurting right now. He needs to hear this story. Once he hears it, boom, he's going to come out of that darkness into the light. And so they went and told him, and he had victory.
Like what Mary Crowley said, every evening I turn worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. You're listening to Sound Doctrine and a message from Pastor Jeff Johnson on humility and resistance. Things needed for today. He'll be right back with more. Remember, you can always access these studies when you visit our website at sounddoctrineradio.org. If you have a smartphone or tablet, download the free app. You just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. And we can also send you a CD copy of this message when you call 800-353-7553. Just mention today's date, and the suggested donation is $5. Worship of God is such a key part of the Christian life. Just think, we'll be doing it for all eternity. Allow the chapel band to lead you in worship through an excellent CD album called Live and Well. So no matter what may come my way, I know I'll be all right. 'Cause there's no power in hell or on earth that can stand against the light. We'll gladly send you a copy for just $5 if you'll call 800-353-7553. Or you can order resources like this online at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also appreciate each and every gift that does come in, large or small, one time or monthly. God is using it, and people all across the world are being blessed as a result. So thank you. To donate, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call us at 800-353-7553. All right, let's get back to 1 Peter chapter 5, as Pastor Jeff has a brief look at verse 9.
All right, verse 9, we'll end with verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? How do we come against this very sly? He seems to know a lot of things about us. He's been working for thousands of years. He uses on men lust. Of course, it works. He uses what works. That's it, you know. And he's always roaming around, seeking to do his thing. But we need to resist him steadfast in the faith. I mean, stand on the word. Stand on what the scriptures say. Paul said we can be more than conquerors. We can be overcomers in this world if we would just continue to take God's word in. Give him time. And sometimes, you know, we act like that youthful person that is cocky and, I'll go to church today. You know, one Sunday out of the month, that's cool. You know, just to kind of show up. Why are you playing games with God? We need to get really serious, because serious days are coming and they're fast approaching. Do you sense it? I mean, come on. I mean, we're almost down to the finish line. This is going to be crazy. But thanks be to God. Don't fear. We have Him to run to. We have Him to learn about and to trust in. And He's going to show us things that you've never seen before in the spiritual realm. He's going to give you spiritual glasses to start looking through. He's going to make you bold and brave as you start receiving His Holy Spirit, just asking Him for more power, more love, more of Him in your life. That's what we need.
Well, next time on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson will consider the last words of 1 Peter, and they are important. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,